Hey, everybody, welcome to the first episode of Storm Champ. This is Storm Champ, the podcast that talks to normal people about what they did to make it through their storms. My name is Carlos. I am one of the hosts that you'll get to know as we kick off the show and as we go episode to episode. But today is kind of a special episode. And what we wanted to do is actually interview our main host on the show. She's an amazing person. She's got an amazing story. And we are so happy to welcome Kim to the very first episode of Storm Champ. Welcome, Kim.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Carlos. What's up, everybody? My name is Kim. I'm so honored to be one of the main hosts here at Storm Champ. I'm excited to kick off the show with our first episode and just tell you a little bit more about myself, a little bit about my background, and have a conversation about some of the things that have led me up to this moment in my life and why I want to be a part of it. So, yeah, I'm glad to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy to have you. We're happy to have you obviously as part of the project. As we mentioned in episode zero, the beginning, we kind of all got brought together via happenstance. And, you know, we're really excited to get the show off the ground and talking to people about, you know, how they championed through their own storms and kind of what the things that they did. So, why don't we start out and talk a little bit about what drew you to a project like this?
Sure. Well, I think what's interesting is life kind of comes at you pretty fast. And usually we try to plan for like the big things in life, you know, weddings, graduations, even funerals, things like that. But it's the little stuff that kind of falls like sideways and kind of hits you, kind of knocks the wind out of you, kind of stops all momentum of what you've been like working for or what you've been focused on. And I feel like there's been a series of little unfortunate, I guess, events that have kind of piece by piece led me to start to question how and why I'm doing life the way that I'm doing it. And I mean, there's several examples many times looking back where you just kind of come to a, like, what the hell am I doing here moment? And what am I going to do about it? And so I think after being hit a couple times with a few of those in a row, you know, like pick your poison, any poison, it was a rough couple months, couple years looking back. I'm still kind of in the middle of a few of those storms, you know. It's like, do some of them ever really go away? Yeah. I don't know. But I just realized that in talking with other people and connecting with other people that are coming to realize certain big pieces of the picture for themselves, that process is something that we're all kind of sharing along the way. And it's only helped me to open up with other people who are going through something like that, and it's something I want to continue to push for, you know. And I think that's what originally brought me and Angie, one of our other, you know, podcasters together. Not only are we sorority sisters and we're older, we're far outside of college at this point. Mm-hmm. We got together and sort of connected right away because of that earned trust years and years and years ago, and really kind of got back into that personal space with one another. Because she was going through some things. And, although at that moment I wasn't, now 6-8 months later, my life is sort of mirroring some things, some loss and some grief that she was experiencing 6 to 8 to 10 months ago. And so anyways, that whole cycle and that whole connection piece is what drew me to this project and keeps me involved for sure.
Yeah. So you mentioned the word connection a few times, and I think connection is so important when it comes to, you know, kind of weathering a storm or figuring out how to move forward. And I know a big thing that I had was I actually had pushed a bunch of people away at that mm-hmm. point where things started to get really bad for me. So what kind of things have you done in your life and on your journey to kind of keep those connections going and how to foster those really good relationships?
Sure. Well, I want to apologize for the child upstairs who has a great time jumping around. Not my child, but someone else's. Part of that is the answer to your question. I like to surround myself with a lot of people, a lot of different types of people. I grew up in a very, very, very small town, the same small town that my father grew up in and his father grew up in. And so rural Northern Michigan only has so many peaks of interest for me. Right. Now I'm into the outdoors and I'm into it a lot, but growing up I wanted to get out and away, meaning away from nothing and into everything. So being around a lot of people in the city of Chicago is literally like a daily momentary escape from a whole lot of what I felt like was nothingness growing up and out of, you know, in rural Northern Michigan, that isolation, and realizing I was coming from some childhood depression and some things like that, that continually, it's not a one and done solved problem. Like, it's something we're going to be working with probably forever. Right. So like, how do we do that in a more kind and helpful way for my process, and also realizing other people are going through their stuff too. So I like to surround myself with lots of different types of people and lots of people in general, more populated areas. That helps. But I also really think that finding like hobbies or like passions that you can connect with another person around, that accountability partner, like that buddy-buddy system that some people, we see it maybe like in early camp counselor years, right? Like day right. camp or something, like swim buddies or something, you know, or you see it like later on when you go to driver's ed and you have like a partner that you drive with and practice with or whatever. So like, there are ways that you have like accountability partners built into your experiences, but as an adult and realizing like you have to consciously make that choice, I choose to surround myself usually with people who are open enough about their processes and their struggles. It's not that you are having like the worst day ever, it's just that you're coping in a way that I notice could help me too. So being open to those experiences, it happens in the grocery aisle, it happens when I'm getting gas, it happens when you're leaving the gym, when you're going to the gym, you know, even if it's not in physical contact with another person on Facebook or social media, I really try to engage in community spaces more so than anything that's an isolated space. And so I have to surround myself with other people. I'm an extrovert, in case you didn't know. I need to have energy coming and going around me. So I really like to do that for myself.
That's really interesting. So I'm introverted, right? So it's always, I find it fascinating how extroverts can kind of just go out there and kind of, you know, they feed off of the energy of other people, right? So when you're in those kind of rough spots and in those rough places and in the quiet moments, like as an extrovert, how do you rebuild and re-energize yourself in those quiet times when no one's around?
Mm. Yeah, it requires a discipline to focus on where you feel the highest like peaks of energy or lulls in energy, like the dreaded places, right?
Right.
It's sort of like the Eeyore effect. You know, we know we love Eeyore. We love him or them. I should say, I don't even know what their gender is, you know.
Right, but right.
We really love them and we really enjoy that. Patience and that kind of gratitude to the process, that however long it takes, just being there is really impactful, you know. When it's really slow and you drag the days or the moments on, like I just came from a huge family event, so like every moment the last, let's say, 24 hours felt like 1,000 moments. So I'm like, okay, just sit in it, just be patient in it, this isn't gonna last forever. And I give myself sort of something to focus on that micromanages my anxiety, I guess, around it. Mm-hmm. My extrovertedness to keep me busy and want to be surrounded by folks is really hard when it gets 3 a.m., 4 a.m. and it's quiet, even in the city of Chicago, right?
Right.
There's nothing going on. Like, you have to quiet your mind and you have to be able to sort of, one, keep yourself going, and to like be okay in the calm, because it's not always a storm either, right? And in the moments when it is a calm, you need to like use that for the next storm around the way, because it's coming again, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's actually, that's interesting. So what kind of mechanisms or techniques do you do to quiet your mind?
Yeah, music, breathing, essential oils, stretching. I like to do a lot of active things and keep my body busy. Just recently, you know, so this whole fitness bit and just wellness in general, in terms of staying active, heart health, all that kind of stuff, like, is very recent in terms of focus. And that's gone a long ways for me. Like, I knew I would study the health effects for women and heart health and know the statistics and work on a national level for my organization, but I wouldn't do the things for myself, like, you know. And so like putting myself into that bigger picture, and then also taking time to just collect my effort, I guess, towards that and then watch the effect build. So I have to create a very like regimented and managed piece to it. I don't hardly do enough of in my life, but that really goes a long way for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. So like on the fitness piece, fitness has become a big part of my life after, you know, spending so much of my life not it being a thing. It just never was a thing for me and being healthy or whatever. So what kind of, talk to me about the process of what drove you to do it and like what's the why behind it?
Yeah. Well, so growing up, there wasn't really like facilities. I mean, we went to high schools and there was middle schools and stuff and we had teams, but our practices were outside, like in the woods. We'd run up the Sleeping Bear Dunes and like train for track or softball or whatever. Like we were in the middle of nature all the time. So being outdoors and physical health is really hand in hand for me in a lot of ways. And I feel like I love to wake up with the sun. I like to go like kind of wind down with the evening. I like to be in kind of concert with all of that. And for me, that's fitness is one part of that wellness wheel. Food is very closely related, but also like mental health and spiritual health. Like if we don't have mortality conversations and we don't talk about purposes beyond our moments here on earth, like what are we doing with this whole thing, you know? And so I guess one, identifying some of those bigger conversations that we all kind of share on, and then two, having the courage to actually open those conversations up as they present themselves in your life or the people around you, you know?
Right. So how big is spirituality as part of your process?
I guess it's always there. Like, I'm a good Catholic. You can't lose your sacraments, right?
well, but you could. I'm not going to answer that question right now, but yeah.
I've been conflicted spiritually for a while, I guess, is the way I would answer that question, because we just memorialized my grandmother, who's very strict Baptist. Mm-hmm. And so I understood the Christian faith from two different, very different corners of the church. And grew up with that and felt like I definitely paid my dues for like weekly and every weekend day mass, all of the high holy days, all of the rosaries. I'm like, I was good before I graduated high school. And so it's been a while since I've been super active with the church, but it's always been around me culturally. Sure. And I really appreciate the cultural, reflections and the expressions that I can see in a multicultural space around particularly the Catholic faith. You know, I'll say the prayers along with folks and I'll share in that community when I'm there, for sure. My line name in the sorority is Salvacion, which is very interesting and very strong in the Catholic and the Christian faith in general, anybody with Jesus Christ involved. And I think that's an interesting piece that I didn't choose. It was put on me. I also was able to travel the world and go to China and Tibet and go to some holy temples, Tao temples, Confucian temples, Buddhist temples. And so I have kind of a global appreciation for a lot of angles on spirituality. Lately, I've been looking into a lot of other soul searching pieces. I feel very multifaceted. And like, again, that's more of a lifelong learning process. And I think we can share in that space with a lot of different types of people.
Do you differentiate between, because you mentioned a bit about like specific religions that have played a role in your life, but do you differentiate between the religious part and the spiritual part, or is it kind of all one and the same for you?
Yeah, only in the, in like the dogmatic practice. So I can think back to indigenous cultural studies and immersion programs and things that have what presented little to do with a church proper, but more of a culture or a community. And I can see all the way up to, you know, yeah, prayer wheels on mountains in Tibet, you know? So like, right. There's a lot of separation for me when it comes to the conversation, but in practice and what I'm kind of absorbing as a sponge, I'm just looking at, you know, like the heart space of that human and their limited time on this earth. So I'm very like kind of big picture when it comes to all of it. And religion just looks like more details than spirituality to me.
Got it. So Talk to me a little bit about, like, what's the daily process for you like? Like, you know, is it different if you've got a, if you wake up having a rough day? Is it the same? Like, you, like, what's the rituals and the habits look like for you?
This is, in reality, it's all a matter of practice, but, and my life has been kind of topsy-turvy for about 8-10 months. So, in a normal, average, stable space, I feel like there's a lot of, practice and patience with regards to timing. So I would want to and need to wake up an hour before I intended to leave the house. And that would be an intentional practice, from literally turning my alarm off 5 to 8 minutes before leaving the door, only to pee, brush my teeth, and put clothes on, right? Yeah. Like, I need to do a little bit more in my prep for my human day than that. And so intentionally setting that time, I want to do that. And I want to kind of go slower and lower in the morning. I need to eat. I love food. I mean, don't we all? But I love I love growing food. I like studying food. I like making food. I like eating food. I like packaging food. I like talking about food. So it's a thing where I really revolve my energy intake with the food that I eat, with the things that I drink. I'm a little bit of a coffee fiend and maybe could cut back, but I like that go-go feeling early in the morning. If I miss that, if I miss the window, though, if it's like 8:30 a.m. and I'm still in bed, it might be a 10 a.m. wake up, you know?
Right.
And I feel kind of groggy and bad for that. I make up for it later, you know? So, I like to, start my day with food, start my day with the best of intentions. I'm getting better at kind of framing my, my survival kit, I guess I'll say. I'm going to need a mantra at some point today. Something's going to piss me off. Something's going to test me. I need a mantra. So I need to find a quote, or I need to, usually I remember seeing a pattern or something over the last weekend, noticing like a hot spot in my temper or my temperament. Like, where do people get to fuck with me the most? Like, where am I really irritated the most? And I'm like, I need to work on that space, you know?
Right.
So I kind of do like a self check-in. I, you know, usually like Sunday night or something like this, to set my week up. You know, or if I know that I'm facing like a really just chaotic week ahead, I'm going to be like, all right, instead of trying to hold myself in discipline, I try to hold myself in grace. And I'm like, all right, don't worry about what time you eat or how much you eat. Just make sure that you, you know, eat, you know,
right.
Try to give yourself some slack. Cause I'm really hard on myself too. So those things really help. I mean, it's kind of a vague answer to how I frame my day, but I really need to like, practice being intentional and practicing patience with the whole thing. I know what to do. Like, I'm way too smart for my own good. It's just a matter of doing it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, have you been able to, or have any thoughts around how, like, can you catch emotions as they happen and then analyze them, or like, how does that work for you?
So, I saw the movie Inside Out and about died. Like, it's an amazing example of like coming to competency with emotional intelligence, right?
Right.
Again, I can run a national program for my organization, but am I going to actually apply it to myself? I'm very self-aware, and I'm willing to do the study and the reflection. And to do that piece, I need to practice more on communicating what I've learned through that piece. But I'm coming to find that I do that fairly well when given that the chance. So, I think that is something that grad school really helped me understand, just because in student development theory, there's a whole section of that. And I realized we kind of label stuff as like, this is when it happens in someone's life, or this is how it could happen in someone's life. But really it's kind of not 100%, right? And so you see it, something that could apply to you outside of college or outside of the student, you know, identity space or whatever. And you're like, this is exactly what's been happening, and this is how I can frame it, you know? So
what is the one struggle right now that you're willing to share that you, are looking for help in or help for?
Like, help me with everything. What do you mean? Let's see. I've realized that I have, I'm a multi-potentialite. I can serve multiple purposes, but being able to frame the like purpose search is really important for me. Right. Being able to frame the length of time or the depth of topic or whatnot, like being able to just really say, here's my idea, here's my issue, here's my question, this is what I'm going to do about it. You know, it's a honing in, like, and focusing in particular on an achieve, like a SMART goal, right? It's like going back to basics with framing SMART goals. I need to do that in a lot of different spaces, but in particular with what is my like purpose? Like, what am I doing? I used to be a college student. I used to be a student in general. I'm considering PhD studies. So I'm like, okay, student identity is obviously a massive part of things for me, will always be. I'm an educator, you know, all this other stuff. But like, what am I doing with all of that study? You know what I mean? So I'm a first gen student, and I kind of know what I don't know. Like, right. It's something that I need to focus on. So I think if I was going to say this is what I need help in, it's framing what I don't know.
Interesting. So is this something like figuring out, I guess, like the broader purpose for you? Is that something that's recent, or is it something that you've been kind of like working on throughout the years as you got to this point? Yeah. And the reason I asked, because I for the longest time, I thought I knew what I was and who I was and what my purpose was. And then something happened and completely shattered my thought about, yeah.
Well, several things happened, and then more things happened. And yeah, right, yeah. It's like a good thing I know how to tread water. Also, you know, what is it like when you tumble pebbles, they shine, right? So it's like you're on your way to like diamonds, baby. Like, I really don't know what we're doing with this journey, but we're on it, you know. It is somewhat recent in the way that I can articulate some pieces of it. I've always been very broad and deep with my interests and with my passions and with my smarts. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I was a Catholic school kid. I was a teacher's aide for catechism for the public school kids who were in our church. And I was like teaching the classes. I forgot entirely about this whole thing up until recently when I realized someone else who we had lost was a Sunday school teacher. And she was also a kindergarten teacher. And she was an educator in her whole world and her whole life. And I'm like, so that was a purpose of hers, right? Like that was that not only did she like embody and reflect, but that was a purpose, like God-given purpose. I don't know, whatever you want to say about it, but something higher than just, oh, I want to get a job as a school teacher, right? Like it's something bigger. So being able to articulate those things that have already occurred and have built up in our lives, and also what is ahead of us, is something that I am getting more excited about than ever in my life. Yeah. Very recent.
So what, like today, what does your gut tell you of like what you're supposed to be doing?
Well, connecting, I guess, is the theme, the word, the piece of it. It looks different all the time. I am meant to be searching right now. Mm-hmm. Is something that I'm settling into. And that, you know, that is going to continuously look different, that search process, right? Sometimes we find it, and then sometimes it changes. Maybe always it changes, you know? The only thing constant is change. So, like, I feel like anything that I feel super resolved in and something that I know, I probably don't really know. Like, there's a blind spot somewhere, you know? Not so much in, like, a paranoid sense, but, like, in a, I don't know, like, an endurance building, like, say, vigilant on your focus and on your purpose. There's a lot of words to use for it. I'm meant to be around things that I can study, and I'm meant to tell other people and teach other people things, you know, like, and I think communication plays a big role in that, connecting with other people. The study of sociology as my undergrad isn't like just by some, you know, accident. It's meant to be, you know, kind of thing. And like looking back on all that I've done and all that I've already accomplished and how that can translate or look different than my first expectations. That's like the biggest part of it right now. Yeah.
Yeah. You've mentioned quite a few times now around education and teaching and informing, right? And I kind of feel like, that's what I get that vibe from you. Like you want to share with the world, like the things that you know and the things, and even the things that you don't, right? Like have that conversation and broach those topics, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably why I might be the main host of this podcast or something. Huh?
Maybe. There might be a method to the madness.
I mean, I see these dots that might not need connecting, but I can do it.
So. Yeah, they're definitely connecting the dots. Talk to me about, you know, is there any recent books or authors or, you know, even like YouTube channels or whatever that have really kind of helped you through all of this?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm always collecting new names and things every day because my methods sort of vary. I've been collecting a couple of different like fitness folks, people who are into kind of like the holistic approach to health and wellness. I'll like include the links and stuff a little later or whatever, the names and stuff. I'm not really sure off the top of my head right now. But then also, I think his name is Mark Mason or Mark Manson. Yeah, it's something about, anyways, I'll have to give you the name of it too. I can't remember exactly. But it's really helpful in trying to decide how many fucks to give and like if you should give a fuck. It's like right. The subtle art of not giving a fuck.
Oh, right. Yeah. And okay.
By Mark Manson or something. And it's an orange book and it is fantastic on the outside. Orange is one of my favorite colors. So I was like, wow, this is like cool. You're you know, don't judge the book by its cover, but you got to like look at it. So, I mean, how are you not going to judge it? Right. But yeah, so that's a really good shorter book, probably like 9 chapters, maybe like 110 pages, maybe a little more. So like a weekend read or like on your commute if you're on a public transportation sort of situation or lunch hour for a week or two or something. But I'd recommend reading it with one other person, 2 or 3 other people. Like I like little book club ideas.
Yeah.
That book would be fun to do a book club around because it gets into some basic topics. Again, kind of like a general approach that a lot of people could have a little chit chat about. And I'm on chapter 9 right now. So if you catch up to me, we can talk. But
absolutely. Yeah, I've been seeing that book around. In fact, I just saw it at Target the other day. I'm like, oh, it's like on the on the reading list, right? For sure.
Yeah.
It's actually really interesting. So, you know, that caring about what other people think or caring about things that are external to you is such a, I don't know if problem is the right word. It's such a challenge for most people, right? So talk to me about what that process looks like for you.
Well, I've recently and always will be accused of caring too much about what other people think.
Right.
We do not have enough time to get into that entire process. However, yes, it's a dance. It's a dance like how Jell-O dances. It's sort of firm, but not wiggly. Really, it's a little wiggly, but not really. So you got to understand that it's a good thing to see and measure and kind of gauge how other people perceive you. But you can't let that be. It's not rigid and 100%. It's not something that you can apply all the time across the board. It's not what you take at face value or whatever. Like there's a lot of, there's a lot of gradient to that whole situation. So I feel like if you are keen, if you are smart enough, if you are into the nuances of how folks will tell you about yourself or how you will be able to measure your reflection in other people's reactions or how whatever, then okay. But if you are really highly sensitive or if you are somebody who needs the constant approval or attention of someone or others, we got to work on you first, baby girl. Like, or, right. You know, got to make sure that like, you understand you before you start trying to look at other people. So I've been trying to really like, why do I care what side my part is on today? Why do I put this was super fun, a little star on my eye because my eyeliner came with the one side that was a star and an eyeliner. So that's what I did. This why not? Right.
Right.
So yeah. What do I want? And what am I trying to express? And then how are other people picking up on it? It's sort of supposed to be an exchange, but it's not 110% the entire thing, you know?
So what do you do when you find yourself caring too much about what other people think?
Freaking out, of course. No, it's hard. I tend to kind of retreat. I like to isolate myself at that point because I know that I'm taking in too much from the outside world, and I need to kind of rebalance back to what basics for myself. Those are the nights I'll probably take a bath bomb bath, or I'll do something a little extra for myself inside, like not for any shine or outside sort of thing. Like, I'm not going to get dressed up because it's my birthday weekend today. Like, I'm going to take care of myself because I need to regroup kind of weekend. You know what I'm saying? Right. So for me, it's really trying to honor like the quiet corners of who I am and what's pulling me to want that reaction from something else, from someone else, you know? And so I try to spend more time with myself at that point. Usually it's about like a 12-hour deal, right? Like a nice long night to myself. And the next day I'm like all about it. And I'm like back to where I need to be, chit chatty as ever. But sometimes I have to put myself on timeout. And usually that's what I do when I realize that I'm like taking in way too many other influencers or opinions or whatever. I'm just like, nope, like turn it all off, like unplug it and bring it back, you know?
So it's awesome that you can recognize that you're doing that though. Cause I think a lot of people don't recognize that or can't recognize that in themselves, you know, and they just end up turning on themselves and you know, not sure how to react and respond to it internally first, right? And kind of help themselves.
Yeah. I feel like your body will tell you everything. Like, I know the days that I'm pissed off and just really agitated, I'll like kind of grind my teeth, or I'll like really like clench my teeth, or I'll come home and I'll have like headaches. Like, and I'm like, I never really have headaches. Why am I? And then I'm just more angry and kind of jaded and bitter about whatever little shit is going on in the world. And I'm like, this is all stemming from the fact that I'm blocking the process of letting something go. Or this whole thing is stemming from the fact that I'm ill prepared for something that surprised me this morning, or like whatever the thing is, you know what I mean? It's like your body is doing things to tell you about where you're like holding anger, or you're holding frustration, or you're holding tension. Like, first and foremost, listen to your body and be nice, be kind, you know? Trying to be my own best friend. So, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Switching gears just a little bit. If you, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your 25-year-old self?
Oh, but you don't even understand who I was at 25, first of all. Like, I feel like we should ask everybody this question because their initial reaction, gold.
Epic. Yeah, absolutely.
So, what would I tell my 25-year-old self? I just turned 35, you asshole. Thank you for the question.
That's why I asked it.
I would, I don't know. Okay, I would say next year you're about to be in Oaxaca City, girl. Don't leave. build that house in the mountains and stay in Mexico. No, I would say, yeah, just chase your, like, seriously chase that focus you have right the fuck now. Like, I was about to graduate grad school. I was about to write my master's thesis on sustainable eating initiatives and campus dining. I talked today with you about food. I was, you know, in a cultural immersion program in the center of Mexico looking at food and education. Like, I was in it. And really, for the last time in a long time, felt centered and where I needed to be in terms of my academic interests and my career interests and all of that. So I feel like, knowing what I know now, I would say stay on that shit, stay focused. You know, you usually quit or like shift gears or change your focus right before everything was about to pop and be like there, you know? So right. I think that is a classic example of that happening in my life, looking back on it now. Not that anything's ever too far gone or whatever, you know, it's a process, but that is definitely at 25 where my world was and what I would tell myself looking at that now. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So kind of finishing this up, what do you hope that this show and sharing parts of your journey, how do you hope that will impact the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think we, I hope that in sharing some things that I've learned by participating in that reflective process and in the work, the self-work that it takes to realize patterns and unpack histories of things that maybe you didn't ever feel responsible for. But, and at this point in your life, you are come at a crossroads to accept or to change certain things in your world. I think, I don't know, I hope that my commitment to stay courageous in that pursuit is something that other people understand and connect with. I do not ever, ever claim to have all the answers to anything. I used to, everybody used to call me a know-it-all, and I am a know-it-all. I know everything. I need to know more information than necessary to tell me it all. But I know nothing. I know nothing. And I know that. And like we said, I need a little help in understanding more and framing what I don't know. So that search and that pursuit and that interest, that self-interest in really understanding and trying to achieve my best self, that's the piece that I want to selfishly connect with other people around, but also like share in my purpose building. Like, I'm in a certain chapter of my life with that, and I think a lot of other people can help me, and I can hopefully help them, you know? So
absolutely. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, I think, you know, the value of sharing your story and having the courage to share your story is tremendous. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot from you with that. And, you know, I personally appreciate you being willing to do that and share a little bit parts of your journey tonight. As the show goes on, you're going to hear from all of us, and you're going to hear more about Kim, myself, Angie, and Derek, the other two folks that we're partnering with on this endeavor. Kim, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight, being on the very first, well, technically the second episode, but it's going to come out as episode number one after our intro. So we appreciate it. We're looking forward to learning more about you as the show goes on.
Awesome. Thanks, Carlos.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to episode one of Storm Champ. If you'd like to learn more about the show, please visit stormchamp.com. There you will catch links to our channel on YouTube, our links to iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher, where you can catch the audio version of this podcast. Once again, we're looking so forward to connecting with all of you. If you got any tips or tricks or anything that you'd like us to talk about, please send us an email at info@stormchamp.com. That's info@stormchamp.com. We're happy to listen, and especially if you guys have any ideas on some guests that you'd like us to talk to. So please send the information there. Beyond that, appreciate everyone's time tonight, and thank you so much.
Bye.